Please keep standing as we build up into this second service, looking at the part two of living a life of balance. And I want us to celebrate the father in this house, Reverend Steve Mensah, and all the leadership team. We honor you. Thank God for the great kingdom work you're doing. And we believe in everything you represent. We believe in everything, not some, because you have a shepherd who is very genuine and very truthful. He speaks his mind and speaks the truth. Even when you don't like it, he still tells you. Thank you for being yourself. Praise God. And I will thank God for Reverend Stanley and our mommy. Thank you. Reverend Stanley has to come to Nigeria. I hope Reverend Steve will let us work that out and come and train us. He is a great trainer. I can see his product everywhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 was where we started from in the first service. And we'll read again verse 14 to 17. And we'll be focusing more on verse 14 to 17. We did more of introduction in the first service and what grace means. And give you a few definitions of grace. And then we took off the journey. I'd like you to read this very loud and clear the best you can. John chapter 1, verse 14 to 17. Shall we read, everybody? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness of all we receive, and grace for grace. 17. Lord was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Grace and truth came by Jesus. And the Bible says that this word of God, grace, live among us. That's where we close in the first service. If you're in the first service, hope you remember that. We stop at the fact that this word of God became flesh and dwell among us. Other translation says, live in our neighborhood. He became flesh and he lived in our neighborhood. Though he looks like a human being, he lives in our community. He lives in the Kasua market area and he's there. So he's grace, but he's your next tenant. He lives in that same house. Now, the difference is that as he lives with four trusts that explains him. He lives as the word of God. Now, the word of God never fails. He lives as God. God is almighty in his ways. He lives as life. Whatever is dying can find life under him. And he lives as light and dwell among us, and we beheld. Look at verse 16. And of his fullness of all we receive. So in other words, every man who encounters Jesus receives grace. of his fullness of all we receive. So no matter what you are looking for, is available in Christ. And once you embrace Christ, you receive grace for grace. Grace is God's strength being manifested in dismissible vessels. People, you can almost dismiss them until you see the work of grace. Grace is God's power that is made available to us. Now, a few things to say to you: that grace of God becomes effective when combined with truth. Pilate, in his confusion of mind, looked at the entire council and asked the question, what is truth? That's to tell you there are people in high places of life looking for truth. Pilate asks, Jesus was there. He said, what is truth? And Jesus clearly said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so everybody is looking for the truth about life. Jesus says, I am the truth. So when you combine the life of grace with living in truthfulness, then your Christian lifestyle will be balanced. Truth is very scarce. And if you are going to be a truthful man, the way you test your level of truthfulness is your courage to put your life on the line. To look at your wife and say, I actually betrayed this vow. I didn't know it could happen, but it happened. That is the truth. That's a difficult thing to say. You know why at times we can't say truth? We can't imagine the consequences of telling the truth. Anybody hearing me here? We can't imagine the consequences of telling the truth. But truth is more rewarding than the consequences in terms of punishment. So you will say, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when we live full of his grace, taking grace out of him, and we combine a life of grace with truth, our Christian lifestyle becomes balanced. So that when you people hear you, they know you are saying the whole truth, nothing more. The church is more comfortable giving you money to execute projects, knowing that the money will not be missing, or it will be exaggerated, and you qualify it as miscellaneous. Being truthful is revealed in day-to-day activity. Because if you say to your spouse, I'm going to so-and-so place, and for any reason, you have to change your location, to be a man of truth, you must communicate back to your spouse and say, I was going here, but for so-and-so reason, I need to be here. Because that is the truth. Now, you never can explain. You say, well, that's not necessary. But somebody may see you and may be chatting with your spouse, and he can say, oh, I saw uncle in so-and-so place. Say, no, he didn't go there. And then he gets home and said, but I saw you in so-and-so place. Say, yes, I went there. But you didn't tell me. That was not our discussion when you were leaving the house. Truth is that grace can be frustrated. That's a truth you should know. You can frustrate the grace of God by your lifestyle. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Grace can be frustrated. These are some truths about grace. Because we have in our country, I don't know if that happens here, but we have some teaching going on in our country that tells you that when you commit sin, it is not the redeemed man in the inside that commits sin. It is your flesh that commit sin. And your flesh is not going to heaven. When you die, they will put your flesh on ground here and your flesh will decompose here. So when you live in sin and immorality, it is not going to affect your chances of going to heaven because it's a sin in the body. What an error. That is frustrating the grace of God. And people believe it because sin has a pleasure. Are you hearing me? Sin has what? A pleasure for a moment. And too many times when you enjoy the momentary pleasure of sin, you don't know that the consequence of that sin has a far-reaching effect even to the fourth generation. That's the seriousness of it. So when you teach grace to permit all kinds of wrong lifestyle, then you have denied the truth that works with grace. So part of the truth is that grace can be frustrated by the lifestyle you choose. Another truth that balances the life of grace is that if you are not careful, the grace of God can be in vain. In vain means not put to work, not serving any benefit. And people have said many things. For example, you have people talk to you and say, well, I am this, I'm going to so and so place by the grace of God. That's fine. I am what I am by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. I am what I am by the grace of God. But that's not the whole truth about grace in that verse. When you look at that verse very closely, when Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, I was the least of the apostles that came. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not what? In vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. So when you combine grace with good labor, then you have an unending reward. So the truth of life is that grace must be driven in hard work. You can't become lazy, idle, and stay on one spot and say, by the grace of God, we will accomplish it. Nobody accomplished anything that way. Hard work. Hard work. Give expression to grace. And everybody can see that beyond your hard work, this is the grace of God. This is the hand of God. Grace has a way of changing your total lifestyle and giving you a height. Nobody has reached your entire family. But you must know that it comes with hard work, labor, and labor more than them all. So when you testify of Apostle Paul that he was the least of the apostles, he came so late, he overtook everybody, did so much, had a national influence, is to tell you of great hard work. So nobody claiming to live by grace is permitted to be idle. You won't add much. You will not add up so well. So grace must be driven because it's a life, it's a person, and he must be driven in hard work. Looking at the life of Jesus, the one from which we do grace from, you find Jesus so committed to his assignment, so focused that he moved from village to village, from city to city, preaching the gospel of Jesus. He was hungry like any human being. He was weary like any human being. He was tired like any human being. But for the grace of God, he declared, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And he says to them, lift up your eyes and see the field is white already. So the reason for my restlessness, for my continual hard work, for early morning rising to pray, for moving all around, is because the field is white already for harvest. That's what grace does. Grace keeps you on your toes to labor more than your equals. So it's so important. You can't claim grace and be idle. You can't. You can't claim grace and be indifferent about serious issues of life. You can't. So hard work is required to justify the grace of God. And it suggests clearly to me that more work will attract more grace. Have you read in Acts chapter 4? Acts chapter 4, it says, and I witnessed Jesus with great power. Why? Because we had great grace. See those two words there. Great power, great grace. Acts chapter 4, let me get that verse. Acts chapter 4, I think verse 30. It's not part of my sermon, so you just jump into it. Check for me. I want to see that phrase, great grace. Yes, Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what? Great grace was upon them all. So when you labor more greatly, what comes your way? Great grace. Great grace. When you labor little, what comes your way? Little grace. So if you want great grace upon your life and ministry, then you should labor more. As you live among men, you don't give excuse to say, oh, it's because everybody's wrong. You're not supposed to be wrong. Why? Because what makes you up is the word, God, life, and light, and the word never returned void. He sent his word, and the word creates. So when a man finds grace and truth, he speaks the word in all life circumstances, for that is the nature of God. Words are weapons. What you say goes a long way to interpret you or defines you. And when that's why Bible says he sent the word heals and delivers. Words are spirit. The word I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and life. So that's why a smart man do not curse his wife or curse his children, because words are spirit. You don't say things to your spouse whose result you are not expecting. Every great performances in scripture came by utterances. And can I tell you, when you live by the principle of grace and the word, then anything you speak to have ears, they will hear you. Can these bones live? Was the question God asked Ezekiel. And God gave the answer and the way out to Ezekiel in verse number 4 of Ezekiel 37. It says, prophesy and say and say and say. If you say nothing, nothing will happen. So it doesn't say it's in my heart. God knows my heart. No, your mouth must say what is in your heart. Prophesy and say, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It suggests to me bones have ears and they can hear words. So when you live like that, because that's part of the decomposition of grace as a person, the word, make up your mind that no negative word comes out of your mouth. That when anybody hear you, they will hear a word of grace. They will hear a word of grace. They will feel encouraged hearing you. They want to do more hearing you. But you don't speak against yourself, or speak against your home, or speak against your job. Say, oh, this business is not doing well. Your mouth says it, then it will not do well, because there is power on your tongue. So business is dull, but we are coming out of it and we are doing very well. Your mouth says it, though business is generally dull, but your own business will be activated by the word you have spoken, and things will begin to turn. There is no force like the word of God. Are you following me? So you learn to speak life to everything around you. That's what the power grace offers you, to speak the word like God. It says grace means God, from what I share with you in the first service. Grace means life. So anything around you, speak to it. Speak to it. A pastor in our city caused trouble for his daughter. He's gone to fast and pray, asking God for anointing. And God told him, this anointing you are asking for, you don't have the maturity to handle it. He said, no, God, I need it. People must know that you are with me. It's okay. So God gave him an assurance, I'll give you what you're asking for. And then he went. This is after 40-day fast. He was breaking his fast. This is a life story. He was breaking his fast and asked for either banana or something. And then they kept the banana and he stood up. Before he came back, they have animals in their compound. He has a big compound. One of the sheep entered where they served the banana. I'm sure God was behind it. And made the sheep to carry the banana away. And then the man came back. He wants to break his 40-day fast. He's received power. So sat to eat. And they couldn't find the banana. And they called everybody at home. Where is the banana here? He said, well, we don't know. We served it. We don't know what happened. And he got so angry. Just coming from collecting power. Got so angry. And he says, he asked everybody in the house, you are sure? They say, yes. You are sure? He said, okay. Whosoever took this banana should come here now and die. Life story. I was involved, not that somebody reported. Should come here and die. And the sheep left where it was and came down to that spot. They all saw it and fell and died. And God said, you see why I'm going to withdraw the power? If that was your first son, for fear, he couldn't tell you he took the banana, and you have exercised power like that, you will have lost your first son. Do you understand the message here? So when a man asks for power without self-control, you will be the first victim. Are you hearing me? Never curse your children, no matter the level of provocation. Never curse your wife, no matter the level of provocation. Hold your peace if you don't know what to do. And just be quiet and gather your spirit together. Because once you say it, it will come to pass. Are you following me? So it's so important to see what grace can do. And I will begin to close it with two stories from scriptures of men of grace. Paul was an amazing man, but he combined grace with labor. That was the truth that stabilized his life and ministry. I've told you some truth that grace can be in vain, so you don't abuse it. And you don't frustrate grace by your lifestyle. There was a diligent lady in scriptures called Esther. Very diligent, very hardworking, but very disadvantaged. Came from a background where the parents were no more. So it doesn't matter. You don't resign on daring life because you have a parental crisis. No. By the grace of God, each of you here, you will be the light of your father's house. So here was Esther. No parents. Live with a poor, struggling uncle, a gate man. I don't know how much they pay gate men in Ghana, but in my country, they don't pay them so much. Is it the same here? Do gate men take up to $1,000 per month here? Okay. So, he was a gate man, managing with a young, beautiful girl whose parents are not. So Esther was, as it were, adopted by their uncle Mordecai, and they tried to survive. But there was something about Esther. She was diligent. She had self-control. No guy messes her up anyhow. She's attractive to call attention of anybody, but she's highly self-controlled. Sex wasn't cheap around Esther. And somehow Vashti misbehaved. And can I advise you? Please honor your husband. Please respect your husband. Please don't dare your husband. Say, there is nothing he can do. He can do a million things. Are you hearing me? Don't dare him. You say, he loves me. There's nothing he can do. He can do some stupid thing. So just manage him well. Are you hearing me? What do you do to the man? Manage him well. Because most men, when they are dared, you can't imagine what they would do. So just live peaceably with all men. That's what the Bible can tell you, right? Live how? Peaceably. With how many people? All men, especially with your spouse. Live peaceably. When you see trouble, avoid it. So Vashti misbehaved. The husband was trying to boast of her, to show her to everybody. But she refused to come. Isn't that a honor for her? That your husband is so proud of you, he wants to show you to everybody. Come meet my wife. I have a fantastic lady at home. Come meet her. He said, no, I'm busy. I have my own business meeting. Don't do such kind of meeting. Are you hearing me? It can take you off the entire empire and reduce you to an ordinary woman. Are you hearing me? Don't. So, finally she misbehaved. And there's a need for replacement. This quiet lady, a foreigner. So at times, the fact that you are not in your country does not keep you disadvantaged. Fight for the gold. Push. Just be legitimate at every point of your pushing. But fight. So they were choosing a wife for the king, and Esther said, look, I'll try. The husband said, try. The uncle says, try. Now, here's my interest here. In my country, it's not the king that crowns his wife. There are a group of people who are called the kingmaker. So the king will make his choice. Is that okay? And he will tell the council of those who will coronate and get the queen for her, for him. That is my choice, and he will sit down. But grace has a compelling force if it's rested on your head. That the moment the king sighted Esther, he stood up himself and took the crown and walked up to her and crowned her. That's what grace does. That's what favor does. It has a compelling force. And I'm praying for somebody in this service, as you go out this week, men will be compelled to do you good. There will be a compelling force resting upon you. Everyone who sees you wants to help you. Everyone who sees you wants to make a way for you. Everyone who hears about you wants to defend you. That will be your experience in the name of Jesus. Grace gives you a compelling force that makes men to do you good. In the moment she was a slave girl, another moment she's the queen over 127 provinces. That's what grace does. It can lift a man from the background to the forward line. And people are asking questions, where is this guy coming from? They say, grace found him. Grace found him. Grace found him. May grace find you today. May grace defend you today. May grace allow compelling favor on your part. It's strange at times. You find a lady who nobody's interested in marrying her. The day she contacted grace, seven men are fighting over her. Everybody say, no, 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 I need to marry her. I need to marry her. I say, when are you ready? Say, next day. I say, I'm ready next month. Let me go for her. That's what grace does. He makes space for you. Grace puts your name in people's mouth in a corner of major life decisions where you don't even have access to be there. Then somebody in that corridor of power is talking for you as though he knows you personally, and he said, no, this guy must get it. This guy is correct for it. That's what grace does. He raises voice for you where your voice cannot reach. That is what grace does. When a man finds grace, you can imagine what changes come to your life. You can imagine it. Esther was an amazing woman, very moderate, very disciplined, very, very stable emotionally. She was just watching the drama like a film, and the king came and crowned her. Said, today I pronounce you. Can I pray for you? The mighty men will pronounce you great. Say, today I pronounce you the queen over this entire province. I'm sure the news got to Vashti. And Vashti said, that is a useless village girl. She's not used to honor. Excuse me. Everybody can be used to honor. It's a little training. It's a little adjustment. In public, this is how to walk. This is how to talk. This is how to behave. Before you know it, you will master the place of honor. Can I hear you say, honor fits me. And it's going to come your way. That's what grace does. He gives you favor that cannot be explained. When a woman is graced before her husband, she will spend the husband's money and there will be no quarrel. In fact, you'll be telling the husband, will say, spend more if that's okay. You have my card. That's my wife. That's my wife. Whatever I have is yours. Meanwhile, if a woman is disfavored before the husband, say, why did you touch that money? You're in trouble. Something you can touch freely and your husband is smiling and laughing, somebody else touches it, there'll be a third world war. May grace speak for you. May grace defend you. May grace strengthen you in the name of Jesus. That's what grace does. Let me close you with Joseph to see that grace is not absence of challenges, but it's the fact that every challenge works to your benefit. So if you have a challenge, it does not mean the grace of God is not there. No. But every challenge becomes a tool to move you forward. To move you forward. To move you forward. That's what grace did for Joseph. Little young boy, a teenage boy, found his way in the hands of his brothers who hate him, not for being their junior brother, but hated him for his dream. Do you have a dream? Are you going somewhere? I know CEM has a dream. Is that right? Of the village we want to build. That is a dream. Some persons can hate you for that dream. Are you hearing me? You have a dream of having a huge, in my country, in the year, a great man of God we all respect, we are close to him, announces that he was going to build a camp of 20, is it how many kilometers? 4 kilometers by square kilometers. A camp to host millions of human beings. Oh, people came all against him. See, that is nonsense. That is not possible. But we are there every year. We've seen it. It's possible. We sat there, had meetings there. We know it's possible. It has come to pass. But people went even on the newspaper to attack the vision and say, that is nonsense. Christ is coming very soon. Somebody is building a huge camp. Say, no, we don't agree with that. Even people from within the system. But you see, one of the strengths of a dreamer is that his dream keep compelling him. And anytime he shares the dream, somebody buys into the dream. Once he shares, another person buys into the dream. Once he shares, another person buys into the dream. So where 2 people pull back, 10 people are saying, yes, we believe in it. That's what happened to a dreamer. Do you have a dream? Is your company going somewhere the next 5 years? What are the dreams of greatness you have? That was Joseph. That was his dream. That was his drive. If you take grace away, Joseph is stranded. Did you hear me? If you take grace away from the life of Joseph, Joseph is stranded. Because they tore his clothes, but they couldn't tear the dream. Threw him into a dry well, but the well couldn't swallow the dream. Made him a slave and kept him at the mercy of Potiphar, but the dream was not enslaved. So it doesn't matter what you go through, keep your dream alive. They lied at him, but the dream could not be lied against. It keeps speaking. It keeps speaking. Threw him into the prison, but the dream was not in prison. It was his physical body that was in prison. Watch your dream, invest on your dream, nurture on your dream, and you will see the grace of God powers it out. He stood before the king to solve the king's dream. Because in solving somebody's life riddle is where the answer to your own life riddle is. Are you hearing me? In solving somebody's problem, many times in solving that problem is where the answer to your own problem is. So that was him. And the king said to him, Egypt is before you. No one will be next, will be above you apart from me. Thank God Joseph was a Christian. If I was Joseph, my first job at that new position is to ask for Potiphar's wife to show up. And the husband, because now I'm greater than them. I say, madam, can you say the truth now before I ask them to hang you? When your dream starts speaking, don't be vengeful. Did you hear me? Every dream God put in your heart, once God starts giving it expression, don't run anybody else down. Don't say, well, God has catch all of you. You thought it can't happen. Now here we are. Leave them alone and face your dream. Face your dream. There is a way your dream will have a voice of grace. So Joseph saved an entire generation. Why? Because the Bible says he obtained favor and grace. He obtained favor and grace. Not that he was skillful enough. There's a place for skill, but there's a much place for grace. He obtained favor and grace. And that was the turnaround in his life. He obtained favor and grace. That is the life of Joseph. His father hopeless, dying. His brothers took him for dead. And Joseph stood before them and said, "Is your father still alive?" Did you hear that English? "Is that old man still alive?" "Say yes. You sent us to buy this corn so that he won't die, and then we can release Benjamin," because that is the only reference he had to the woman he loved so much. The first one is dead, but the dead is alive because of his dream. Even when men take you off, your dream will give you life. He's alive. And he was talking to them. But they have no idea this was the guy they injured. Learn to forgive people. Learn to forgive people. There was a time, one man, there was a rumor in town, in my city, that our ministry has problem everywhere, was scattered, and nobody was in church again. I didn't even know where that rumor came from. And this guy came from America. He preaches for me regularly. So he came and said, "Are you in town?" I said, "I'm in town. So I'm coming to worship with you today." He was the one who had that rumor. I didn't hear the rumor. Because it's good you don't hear some things. If you hear everything, you're going to mess up your mind. Choose what you hear. So he came not to preach. He came just to see for himself if it was true. And we had a special service that day, and he couldn't get seat to seat. Everywhere was packed full to teeth. So he was the one who said, "But I'm told nobody is here again." I said, "Well, you are here. You've seen for yourself that nothing is wrong with us. We're fine." He said, "But why did they give that rumor?" Nothing can distract you like rumors. Don't give your time for it. If you do, you may take a wrong decision. You may take a wrong decision. Truth always speaks for itself. That man had to start telling me what I didn't know. Say, "Boss, so-and-so said so-and-so. This one said," I said, "You mean it?" I say, I poke my phone. Now, that's part of my weakness. Don't tell me a story you can't justify. I will call the person concerned. So you hear stories like, "Oh, this one told this. This one told that." Don't be distracted. Pursue your dream. It has the day it will speak. And the day is now. So, what have I said to you so far? Number one, I've told you that yes, grace is a person. Did you remember that? He lives among us, and all of us receive grace from his grace. So nobody has anything called special grace outside of Christ. Out of his fullness have we all received. Did you remember that? We all receive grace. So if you are differ from your brother and you are better than your brother, it is not you, it is the grace of God. Grace makes us to differ. Grace changes us from whichever level we find ourselves. Grace makes space for us. If your marriage is working very well, thank God for that grace. Some meant so well, but it's just not working very well. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I met a man who says to me, he's leaving ministry. He won't do ministry anymore. He's resigning. He won't be a pastor again. And he has a great church He says, my marriage has not worked. I have helped many other people's marriages, but my own is not worked. My wife has walked out of the marriage. Children are scattered. Nothing is working. Now I can't preach on relationship anymore. That's one of his major areas. Now I can't preach. I did everything to save this marriage. But it's just, I don't understand. I looked at him. I said, if nobody believes you, I do. Don't quit. I will stay with you. Today, God has so restored him, so recovered him, that you will never know. You will never know that he's been through all of that. I went after the wife that left, had 3 meetings with her, including fighting. You know, when you want to recover, you do everything. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Don't accept defeat. Let his grace give you expression. Whatever is not working, embrace more grace. It will work. It could be rough and tough now. Don't take unguided decisions. Stay in there. Because life rewards problem solver. Stay there and solve the problem. Time makes you see things clearer. Times bring healing. Times enable you to recover what you have lost. Don't take a quick, unguided decision. And don't behave like our other brethren in other land. Little conflict, they say, I'm out. Out of where? Is marriage a joke? If you say you are out, you just deceived yourself. Because the scare will be on you for life. You can never be out. So stay there and make it work. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't treat marriage so casually as I'm done. With what? Is it kinke they call it? Could you be cooking kinke? And you say you are done. You can't be done. You are trapped. You are in it. If you walk away, we will still make reference to your days and time in that marriage. Is that right? So stay there and make it work. Are you hearing me? It can work. It can work. It's tough, but it can work. We're in Paris. I was doing a family life conference in Paris. And one lady had me. She works with the oil company in Paris. And she said, I'm divorced for 7 years. Legally divorced. Both parents agreed that this marriage cannot work again. Say, but listening to your teaching on marriage today, I love to have my home back. Say, but we're legally divorced. I say, it's not a big problem. God will bring the marriage back. She said, I will be grateful to God. I said, I promise you. You just do all the counsel I give you. You know, at times you want to be praying. Let me tell you, 60% of what make marriages work is not prayer, is communication. Have a talking home. Talk about everything. So I sat her down. My wife was there. Share with her, this is what you should do. You do this, you do this. Now let's pray. Lord, wherever this man is, let him begin to desire this woman. Anywhere in the world he is. Lord, if you close his eyes, let him see this woman. If you sleep on the bed, let him see himself kissing this lady again. Anywhere he is. That was the prayer dimension. And I told her, I said, in 3 months, your marriage will be back. She said, I will forever be grateful. I said, just follow all the counsel I've given you. Couple of weeks, the guy just called him from the blues. He said, I know we're done. I know it's 7 years we've been apart. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just thinking about you. That is answer to prayer. Are you hearing me? So I'm just thinking about you. Says, okay. And you know, ladies, at times, when they want what you are saying, but they pretend they don't want it. May God forgive them. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yes. So she said, okay. Thank you for calling me, and dropped the phone. 2 days again, the guy called and said, I don't know. Can this marriage work again? He said, you are disturbing me. I'm in a meeting. She's lying. We had prayed that this guy come back. So she called me and said, he's calling me, but I want to bluff him. I said, don't bluff what God is doing. Don't bluff him. Be responsive. Tell him you miss him too. So he replied, well, I'm missing you also. The truth be said, I'm missing you also. He said, well, can I come over? So he came over. And by the third month, they agreed to go and do a fresh marriage, tore the divorce certificate they had, and started afresh again. We were back in Paris, and they were living together. And I sat with the two of them. And I said, Sherman, I was referring to the husband, be careful with this woman. For 7 years, she's been independent. So now that you are back, you will see the tendency of an independent woman for some time. She may go out without remembering to tell you. She may go and do a meeting. She can just forget you are there because for 7 years, she's been herself alone. So you must adjust and be patient for her to become a wife. Because for 7 years, she was not a wife. If you see that marriage today, beautiful marriage, doing very well, they never thought it was possible. But there is nothing grace cannot put together. Can you trust God this morning? Shall we rise to pray? There is nothing grace cannot put together. There's nothing. When you choose the path of grace, I told you hard work is required. Did you remember that? So that we don't lazy and then say, well, the grace of God is sufficient. It's not like that. Hard work give grace a lot of expression. Witnessing with great power will be because there is what? Great grace. So, living a balanced Christian life is to combine grace with truth and truth of hard work. Don't trap yourself into false prophecy. You know, in the days of Micah, there was a big problem in the land, and the king of Acts for prophets to come and prophesy and tell them what was ahead. And 400 prophets, how many? 400 prophets agreed to prophesy lies. That's the challenge we have in our world today. In Nigeria, in Ghana, all manner of unschooled guys who call themselves prophets. Are you hearing me? 400. But somehow the king felt something is still wrong somewhere. Say, is there no another prophet? May God raise you as the another prophet in this land. Say, there's one guy called Micaiah, but he's a terrible guy. You can't bribe him. You can't do anything for him. He will just tell you what God tells him. He said, bring him. One guy against 400 liars. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. Let's be bold to say the truth, even if we're guilty. Are you hearing me? Just say the truth. There's a way the truth will defend you. And it will save you from many crises. It's important that we make that choice. I'd like you to close your eyes as you stand. Don't pray, just think. Just think before you pray. Flash back all you heard today. That out of his fullness as we receive. Christ can be empty, so we cannot be empty. We've received grace. And grace can be in vain if not properly put to work. Grace can be frustrated if we choose a wrong lifestyle with it. Grace is more pronounced with more labor. More hard work, more grace. More hard work, more grace. That's what grace does to any man. Grace changes a man from a very humbling background to a limelight of global view. That's what grace does. Lifted Esther to a limelight. Lifted Joseph to a limelight. A very disadvantaged set of people, but for grace. I'm asking you today, will you embrace his grace? I don't want you to frustrate the grace anymore. I don't want the grace to be in vain anymore. As you're in church today, if you are saying, Lord, I will not frustrate your grace in my life. Your grace will not be in vain. I will combine hard work with grace, and I'll be truthful in all that I do. If that describes you, raise your hand where you are, as I pray with you. If that's your decision, Lord, I will not frustrate your grace. Your grace will not be in vain. I will engage it. I will engage it. I will be truthful in everything I do, so that no matter the level I find myself, your grace will lift me into limelight. Lord, I pray for all these hands that are lifted up to you. Take notice of these hands. Help their heart decision that this life henceforth will not frustrate the grace of God, but will combine grace with good labor. That grace will not be in vain, that they will engage your grace in all areas of their lives, including their marriages. I pray, oh God, that by your grace you will lift each life in church today, from where they are into limelight as they tell their dreams and enforce their dreams. You will power it by your grace. Bless every worshiper today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.